This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
And here we go.
There's a drive!
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive!
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field!
I've been hearing that a lot.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here. Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood, Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Yeah.
Let's go for a little ride.
And we do not have breaking news on a new Illini football coach, so won't be talking about that today unless it's
not the guy you just said in the while you're playing the intro.
That's the way to tease
that. We have
that.
Received messages, and I will change the intro. I understand it says Lovie Smith at the end.
Yes, right. And you know what? I did yesterday play the one you had changed.
I was kind of biding my time because I figured maybe by now he'd be in studio with the way Whitman works.
Well, right.
We'd already have somebody.
But. We'd already have somebody in here. So, yeah, we'll see. But we will talk a little bit about that later today as we go through this. We're going to talk all about Illinois basketball. Of course, the victory last night over Minnesota, that final 92-65. We both predicted, well, all three of us predicted double-digit wins. Trevor, actually, I think became the closest because you had him, like, beating Minnesota by, like, 20.
I said 85-65.
Wow.
So for a minute there, I thought I was going to nail it exactly, but...
Stinking Illinois just
Jermaine
kept...
Jermaine Hamlin had to come in dunking. And dunk a few times.
Thanks
so.
A lot, Jermaine. Of course, it's football signing day, and we're going to go through some of that. It does look like Illinois did pretty well.
I've got the pressing stats for you.
In terms of this, they signed most everybody that, in other words, losing Lovie didn't mean you were losing all these players, because I'm reading right now, how many are there? How many recruits are there? 14 recruits. So we have some of that, and we'll talk all about that today, and we probably should hit that right off the bat. By the way, former linebacker at Illinois, now Loyola Academy head coach John Holasek. I've got to ask him today. Is it Holasek? Is it Holacek? I think it's Holasek. Is going to join us at 5:30 today. We're going to ask him and visit with him about the coaching search. I believe Olin Krutz played. I'm not Olin. I'm sorry. Josh Krutz, who was one of the guys today, played for John. So we'll ask him about that. And I want to ask him point blank, have you ever thought about moving up to the college ranks and even becoming, you know, a linebackers coach at Illinois or defensive coordinator eventually one day or what? I want to ask him that question as well. But
I want to ask him point blank, did you ever have a conversation with Lovie Smith during his tenure here?
Boom. Boom. Because I went back and read, I think it was the News Gazette had a story when he was hired, when Lovie was hired, and they interviewed John. And John was really fired up for that. He thought that Lovie Smith would be a name. We all did. We all thought that. And then it was just a colossal fail. So before we get to basketball, Derek, let me get Trevor on to give me your stat that you have, or you say you have, about the football signing day. 14 recruits sent in their national letter of intent today for Illinois. What other stats do you have on this signing class?
This Illinois football class ranks last in the Big Ten.
Oh, well, maybe we shouldn't have come to you.
Every Big Ten team had 20-plus commits this cycle, except for Illinois, who finishes with 14, at least in the early signing here.
Okay.
The class ranks 88th in the nation, which is behind schools such as Louisiana Tech, Florida International, UNLV, Charlotte, and North Texas. Those schools combined for 5 wins this football season.
You're kidding me.
Oh, boy.
The class only includes 4 players from the state of Illinois, none.
Which is 3 more than I thought.
From the state's top 50.
Okay. 50. Top 50?
If you go to 24/7 Sports and you go to the state rankings and you look for that Illinois logo, you do not see it once.
Holy. Okay.
In the top 50. Okay. The top 5 recruits in the state committed to Texas A&M. That was Antonio Johnson.
Yeah.
Michigan, Notre Dame, Northwestern, and Iowa.
I have something real quick from the Chicago Tribune. Our buddy Matt Lang, who used to coach at Fisher and now is the coach at Havana, the old Ducks over by Beardstown. He sent me a this link today, and he goes, that top or that 25 man thing at the end is not something you want to see. And this is essentially from the Tribune, the top 25 guys in the state of Illinois. And all I'm going to do, I'm not going to read their name. I'm just going to read where they're going to school. You got Iowa, Minnesota, Northwestern, Minnesota, TCU, Louisville, Missouri, West Virginia, Wisconsin, UCLA, Michigan, Minnesota, Syracuse, Iowa, Notre Dame, Rutgers, Minnesota, Iowa, Louisville, Indiana, Toledo, Minnesota, and Northwestern.
Rutgers came in
and beat you on a top 25 recruit, according to the Chicago Tribune.
But see, the problem, at least for me even, is every school you just listed either has a new head coach or 5+ wins. The problem is when you start diving into these 50, I mean, I'm talking about like Miami, Ohio, Northern Illinois.
Yes.
Toledo.
Oh, man.
And it's like, how is that happening?
How is that happening? I don't know. I don't understand it. Our buddy Spencer Atkins just texted me and said it's pronounced Holacek, but in college they pronounced it Holacek and it stuck. So I guess maybe the real saying of John Holacek or Holacek, it would be Check, but we'll ask him. We'll get that taken
care
of.
Like Kofi Coburn?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because I think Kofi even said his name is Kofi Cockburn, but we call him Coburn.
Optics.
Optics, baby. That's exactly right. All right.
Anyways, I'm not like personally fired up about this because the coach has been fired, right? Like I can't sit here and be like, this is a disgrace because we don't have a coach right now.
No.
But still, that's not great.
No, that's not. And Derek, you did manage to get your best recruit, and that was out of Missouri, offensive lineman. He was the highest rated in this class for Illinois, 4-star Brody Weiscarver. I mean, that's a big get for Bob McLean, of course, and we will see if Bob McLean is still around to coach Brody Weiscarver. My bet would be probably no, because most of the staff, I don't think, will be retained when a new coach is announced and brought in to interview those coaches that are already here. But I guess it is good that you get him. Are you surprised, Derek, that even though it is ranked, as Derek or as Trevor said, dead last in the Big Ten, are you surprised that this many guys went ahead and signed, or maybe not?
A little bit, but I think it points to the fact, and this maybe isn't the case for every single one, when you look at Weiscarver, who's a 4-star, I think that, like you said, is a pretty good get. You think about there's going to be turnover, maybe not next year like we expected because of the extra year eligibility, but down the lines, we turn over on that offensive line. Sure. You want to be able to replenish that. But you look at a lot outside of him, there's a lot of 3-stars. Mm. And I imagine there's a lot of guys who don't have very many Power 5 offers. Samari Collier, we talked to him on the show, quarterback from Texas. To my knowledge, Illinois is his only Power 5 offer. So I think that it shows you these guys needed Illinois as much as Illinois needed them.
Fair enough.
And that is, I mean, not to say that there aren't a couple guys in this class that aren't going to help you, okay, that aren't good players or maybe good prospects, but you need to do better when you're dead last in the Big Ten and you got guys sticking on. And that's not to say that they don't still think Illinois can be a good program, but I think it does say something to the point of, you know, there's not another Power 5 school. Yeah. Be like, okay,
yeah,
come on over now.
That's a good call.
Samari had one other offer from New Mexico State. So that's it.
Wow. Okay, and that's your quarterback. The one thing that Illinois has done well is that with Lovie Smith and the staff, that every offensive lineman, basically, that was starting was from the state of Illinois. And it does look like, as you look down here, 3 of the 4 Illinois commits, in other words, kids from the state of Illinois, 3 of them are offensive linemen. Josh Geske, one of them, Zach Barlev, and of course, Josh Kreutz, who's the son of Olin Kreutz, who played for Lovie with the Chicago Bears. So maybe in that situation, Derek, these offensive linemen were at least able to look at that and say, all right, you guys do have a pretty good offensive line. Obviously, you're doing something right there. And I think Bob McLean, since he's gotten here, has been kind of an aggressive recruiter. I think he's gotten out and gotten at it, and it looks like it from what he got with Weiscarver, of course, and then a couple of these other kids. So, but other than that, you had then the other is Patrick Bryant, the 3-star wide receiver coming from the state of Illinois. But certainly, I mean, this is a class, Derek, that's going to put you behind, essentially, when it's ranked dead last in the Big Ten. And you won't, while you maybe won't see these kids for a year or two or three, down the road, that spells trouble, obviously, for your program when you continuously get classes that are ranking in the bottom half or dead last in the Big Ten.
It's not good enough.
No.
It absolutely is not. I see here where I'm looking on the 24/7 composite, Willie Shaw, we mentioned nobody in the top 50. I see Kreutz at 26.
Okay.
So no one in the top 25. Willie Shaw's a running back who's going to Toledo at 23.
Okay.
So, and you also, the fact that the top offensive tackle from New Trier going to Iowa.
Yes.
The guy going to Rutgers is an offensive lineman.
Mm.
You lost, or he's a defensive lineman, I should say. Okay. You lost that battle.
Okay.
But there are just some other ones in there.
Michigan, I know, took a kid that was really good.
I screwed that up. It was a 2020 state rankings I was looking at where there wasn't anyone in the top 50.
Okay. Okay.
But you're right, Derek. No one in the top 25, and then some MAC commits ahead of you. But my bad. I was looking at the wrong year.
Offensive tackle from Simeon going to Minnesota. I mean,
yeah.
One going to Syracuse.
I mean, P.J. Fleck came in again.
Dino Babers.
And yeah, right. Dino Babers came in and did some damage. So, but you know what? I guess, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that the recruiting was not there with Lovie, and that was probably a big thorn in Josh Whitman's side, along with the victories, as to why he had to make a change. And, of course, that change has been made.
And we could put some positive spin, some deserved, on the fact that the coaches who are, a lot of them, if not all of them, will no longer be at Illinois.
Right.
Could have torpedoed this class and told every single one of the guys that they recruited, do not sign, go somewhere else.
That's fair.
Follow me wherever I'm going to go or whatever that may be. So maybe you deserve, or they deserve, a little bit of credit. But at the same time, like I said, I think these are a lot of guys who need this one Power 5 opportunity where it was probably lacking for a lot of others.
Yeah, I think you're dead on that. So that is about, you know, the college football signing day recap. Again, we'll visit with John Holosek at 5:30, former Illini linebacker. He played with Simeon Rice and that crew back in the day. Unbelievable how good that defense was with Lou Tepper. But we'll talk to him about that and kind of ask him. I'm sure he's been asked 100 times, why doesn't Illinois? And I know he even had a quote in the story that I read saying, look, Illinois is not an easy state to recruit because everybody comes into it. You know, you've got Wisconsin, you've got Michigan, you've got Northwestern, you've got all these schools that can come into Illinois. You can fly right into O'Hare or you can fly into Midway and you're right there. So if you're a school even further away and you don't drive here, it's easily accessible. I mean, there's plenty of excuses why, and I'm not saying you're ever going to dominate the state of Illinois, but certainly, Derek, you've got to do better than what you're doing.
Like you said, there are built-in reasons why.
Yes.
The fact that, like Chicago, there's less loyalty. There's alums from a lot of different places. They don't necessarily look at Illinois the same way someone from downstate does, or even Southern Illinois might.
Yeah. Go to any block on Lincoln Park where there's 8 bars, and every one of them is a different Big Ten bar. You know, right. Like my brother would be like, yeah, that's an Ohio State bar. That's a Michigan bar. That is an Illinois bar. Yep, there's a Notre Dame bar. I didn't even think about Notre Dame. So, yeah, I mean, you're right when you say that. There's just so many different, you know, or people that have come from different universities, obviously. And sometimes maybe that doesn't mean that Illinois is going to be the first choice.
Sure, and your lack of success over the years plays into that, and it's easily accessible for Wisconsin, for Iowa, for Notre Dame, for Northwestern. But the problem is, with Lovie, you then added another wall for yourself by just having no relationship with these coaches and not putting in the necessary effort in comparison to a P.J. Fleck or a Pat Fitzgerald. There was just a total disconnect and just a perception, because the reality was Lovie was not putting in the same kind of effort and not showing the urgency, and that led to these results.
I think that's great with what you said. Now, can I counter that with something real quick?
Yeah.
It might be the best thing that ever happened to the next Illini coach, and here's what I mean. These coaches in the state of Illinois, and I haven't talked to all of them, I haven't talked to many, that are probably sitting there Lovie Smith that made zero effort or hardly any effort to come and mingle with us. And we, you know, basically to him, we were considered just kind of a pushover and he's going to go recruit everywhere else. If you're the next guy that comes in here and you all of a sudden make that priority number one, Derek, you could almost see how you've hit rock bottom. And now these coaches, if you come in and show love to them now, they may just be like, whoa, like, okay, this is what we're talking about. Does that make sense? It's almost as though we got nothing And then the next guy coming in is going to show us everything. And I think that's certainly, you cannot sit there, and Brad Underwood has shown us this. You can't just rely on the state of Illinois. We get that. But certainly you have to have some ties with some of these coaches. I mean, John Holasek, Loyola Academy. I know you're getting Josh Kreutz, and that's great. But I assume that that dude and that program produces five or six or more D1 guys every year. And why aren't, I mean, with a guy like John Holasek, who went to school here, and I'm sure in his mind he's preaching that Illinois is a great school to go to, and yet the kids are going elsewhere. That's a problem.
If some of these high school coaches, if you can take them at their word, it seems like they want someone in Illinois to prioritize them, and they want to direct.
Yep.
Some coaches out there will want to direct their guys to Illinois if they believe in the effort being made by the head coach. And I do think that the next guy, whoever it may be, is going to have to win over the state with his reputation.
Yes. Yep.
And in a perfect world, it's the reputation and then the effort.
Yes.
Because I think if you get someone that they question, then maybe early on you got to do some prove it, or you got to obviously outwork people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get someone that, and I think there are candidates that we've discussed that are out there that have ties to the state or just have a very good rep within college football, and then you come in and you work it hard.
Right.
Then you can really start to make some growth there. And like you said, the bar is so low.
Yes.
With what Lovey left it at, that you would think there'd be like, wow, this is what it looks like again when Illinois football is coming after our kids.
It is amazing to me, too, how many kind of connections there are with the state of Illinois to these coaches that are seemingly on the list, if you will, at least of us, the fans. We don't know what Josh Whitman's list looks like, but, you know, even, I mean, I won't go into all of them, but even a guy like Brett Bielema is from Prophetstown, Illinois, which is very high northwest of the state of Illinois. But it is amazing how many of these coaches have a connection from either being from Illinois or have some kind of a connection to Illinois. I mean, it seems like there's four or five of them, and I won't go down it. But
Monken is one of
Monken,
them.
He's from Peoria, correct? And it seemed like there's a couple of others, and I don't.
Sean Lewis.
Yep. Yeah, Sean Lewis is from Illinois. That's exactly right. So you got Bielema, you got Sean Lewis, you got him. Did Leipold? He's not from Illinois, is he?
From Wisconsin.
Okay, he is from.
He's a Wisconsin lifer, so I mean, he's right next to Illinois.
Was it Chuck Martin? Or I think that's a name that was kind of being thrown out there. I don't know that he's maybe high on the list, but is another guy, I think, from Illinois. So it's just amazing that you...
Bob Stoops has been to the Dairy Barn. Liked it.
Let's go. Get him in here, man. Let's go.
There are, like, I don't want to dive too far into it, but there are, like, 4 to 5 weird coaches who have a sterling resume and are just, like, not doing anything.
Mm.
Like Chris Peterson with Washington and Boise State.
You've brought him up a couple of times.
I have no... He's not going to come here.
Right.
He turned down USC
right
before he went to Washington. Like, he's not going to come here. But he's, like, one of the best resume coaches out there, and he's just
kind of there.
Mark Richt. After Miami let him go. I mean, his record is, like, 300 games above 500, and he's just sitting at home.
That's
Bob Stoops. Like, there is this weird tier of guys that are kind of just out there that I don't know if there'd be any mutual interest.
Urban Meyer.
Sure.
Where are you at, Urban? Do you make a call to him?
If you want to talk to him about Luke Fickell.
you have to at least make the call, right? Hey, Urban, Josh Whitman, before I get into the Luke Fickell discussion, would you be interested in this Illinois coach? I know today my boys and I were talking about that, Andrew was like, well, you'd have to pay him what Lovey made. And I'm like, oh, whoa, you'd have to double
exactly
what Lovey made and probably a little bit more. I mean, you're talking... Urban Meyer would want to be probably the highest paid coach in the country, or at least top five, and that's now you're talking 8 or 9
How
million.
How much is there? There's no chance. He left Florida when they were like Citrus Bowl good. They're like, all right, we've been competing for national titles. Tebow's gone. Percy Harvin's gone. We might go to the Capital One this year. All right, I'm out. I need a year with my family.
That's stressful.
Plus, why would you end your career with this, right?
Right.
Not that anyone would actually prioritize, let's say, Urban struggles his first year here or something.
Yep.
Not that anybody would think that would tarnish his record or anything. But why would he, sort of his last hurrah in coaching, risk going 6-6 every year at Illinois,
good point.
Right?
I know Carp always used to say this, and it's true. And I know somebody else on the College of Aces text line had texted this in about a week ago, but basically saying, when is the last Illinois coach that was wanted elsewhere? And that guy was John Makovic, who went like 31-16 at Illinois and then, of course, took over the AD and a head coaching job at Texas. That was that. Our buddy, my buddy Tony Johnston, you guys know Tony, of course, he texted me today an interesting thing. He goes, why doesn't Josh Whitman just take over as head coach and then hire the two highest paid coordinators in the country? Hire the best offensive coordinator and the best defensive coordinator. Let Josh work on, you know, be the CEO, if you will, of the program. I have no idea that Josh Whitman has any interest, number one, in coaching. And I guess I would fear that Josh has never really coached. So I would want my head coach to be someone that has at least a coach. Right. Yeah. Somebody that has at least coached in his, you know, I know he played at a high level. He played in the NFL. But I would at least like a little bit of the coaching because there are things you need to know on that. But certainly it's a thinking outside the box type of thing.
Yeah, and I think Josh would want someone that's coached because whatever next move he makes.
Yeah, because if he failed with that, then he's out.
Right. exactly. 100%.
You're gone. But I know, you know, there are, John Makovic took over the AD job at Texas and also coached. But, of course, the difference is he has coached.
Yeah, Alvarez was the AD and then coached for the Rose Bowl, but of course he had coached for how many years before that?
That's exactly what I was going to say that to that point, Derek. It would have been cool. It wouldn't have been cool, but if the entire staff had just said they quit, would Whitman coach this weekend at Penn State?
Ooh.
If like everybody was just done.
That'd be interesting. All right. I know Joe threw in another Greg McMahon. I know Jay Lehman is a big fan of Greg McMahon. A guy from Rantoul. He's coached at every level, including here at Illinois, won a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints. That is a name for some reason, and I know Greg, and I like Greg, but it's just a name that doesn't excite me.
I'm kind of with you, and I know obviously Jay knows the inside and knows the relationship and what he brings to the table more than we do. Name alone, the fact that he's not a play caller for a defense or an offense.
Right.
He would need a really good staff.
Well, he would have connections.
And that's one thing that maybe he could bring to the table. But just that name alone wouldn't really do it for me.
And that's kind of what Joe said. He's like, he would know how to get a program going forward. He could be the CEO and assemble a staff with some former players who are in coaching now. Pierre Thomas, running back coach. But, yeah, certainly I think Greg McMahon, he would know 1,000 people to where I wouldn't be worried about him getting a staff assembled as you would, let's say, a Nathan Shielhouse, who maybe doesn't have all those connections, obviously. And my worry with Nathan, while I love him and would love for him to be the Illini coach one day in the future, I just would worry about who he's going to be able to attract as offensive coordinator, unless he could swing it and tell Matt Campbell, why don't you be my offensive coordinator? And we'll flip roles for about 5 years. How about that, Coach Campbell?
How about co-coaches Jim Leonard and Nate Shielhouse?
Boom! Kind of like the co-offensive coordinators we did the 1 year under, what was that, under Tim Beckman?
Yeah.
No, well, yeah.
Where there was a first and second down.
I thought Zook had one, too, though. It was like Gonzalez and somebody else were the co.
Billy Gonzalez. I remember he joined us one time. He was driving here from the airport or something. I mean, he joined the former Tay and Jay show. I think then it was like one offensive coordinator called first and second down plays. I mean, only at Illinois, right?
There was a guy whose literal job was just the third down calls. I mean, what are we doing?
What are we doing? So we'll kind of dive into it. Okay, that's enough of football for right now. We got to talk basketball. Illinois is 1-0 in the Big Ten. They get it done last night. We've got some sound here we can hear from Kofi and also Brad Underwood. We spent all day on Kofi yesterday, and he came out and rewarded us. So we need to figure that out for the Rutgers game, who we're going to kind of isolate on and talk about and break down for that. So we'll do all that next. If you want to weigh in, and a ton of you have, 359-2255. Find us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lon Tay, ESPN. See you.
I'm at DPiper247, our podcast.
Why are you laughing at that?
I've missed you doing that. You used to do that every single day for like 7 years, and I suddenly hadn't heard it in like 6 months.
Trevor, you want to throw yours in?
See, Derek doesn't need to throw his in because he's got like 18 million followers.
I just suddenly had like this weird TNJ recall because you always say it with the inflection at the end. See you!
Like that matters.
Continue.
Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevieJ.com, stevieJay.com, You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
Derek Piper is one of the nicest kids I've ever met in my life, but if you want to hate him right now, you can, because he was one of the few that got to watch Illinois live last night. It's not fair! We'll talk to him about it next. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.
Hi, I'm Flora Adams-Williams, physician assistant at OSF Family Medicine Group. The CDC recommends that everyone over the age of 6 months receive a flu vaccine each season. The flu vaccine strain or vaccinations will change each year, so it's important that everyone receives an updated flu shot.
Hello, I'm Jared Rogers from OSF Healthcare. With COVID-19 impacting our community, it is more important than ever this year to get a flu shot early. It takes about 2 weeks for your body to develop antibodies, and if you've ever had the real influenza, you surely know that you don't want the flu and anything else at the same time.
They can have very similar symptoms, such as fever, cough, sore throat, body aches, fatigue. If you feel like it is more than just the flu, we recommend that maybe you could get the COVID-19 testing, and there are free testing sites throughout the city. OSF will provide that test.
Avoid co-infection, reduce the impact on local healthcare systems, and save lives.
If you want more details, visit osfhealthcare.org.
Dish Passionate Cuisine, 45 East University in Champaign and the City View Center, can help you navigate this challenging chapter when it comes to food. Making your co-workers and family happy, taking the stress out of your holiday plans as you order online at dishpassionatecuisine.com. Check out the fabulous platters and sides if you'd like to make the main course. Wonderful box lunches with a minimum 6 in your order, the salads and fruit cup, delicious, nutritious options. 24-hour notice for Monday through Friday orders. 48-hour notice required for weekends. Free delivery in the Champaign-Urbana area. Passionate about food and making you look good, serving it up with their special pop-up menu items coming to you for pickup Saturday, December 19th. Need some simple reheated items for the holiday? Pickup is offered at Dish Passionate Cuisine December 23rd and 24th. Make it easy on yourself. Tap into the cooking elves at Dish Passionate Cuisine. Visit dishpassionatecuisine.com.
And now a poem from John Marshall, owner of PDR Automotive on Cunningham in Urbana.
It was a week before Christmas, Dad shaking his head, for he had just realized the car's battery was dead. I heard him exclaim that the car would not run, so he was going to call 367-9481. Quick as a flash, and after the tow, all that remained were tracks in the snow. Finally, the phone rings, and I hear such a chatter. It was the folks at PDR telling Dad what was the matter. They put in a new battery, now it's charging just right. The oil was good, and that wheels were all tight. I could not hear the last words that they said. Only my father's yes, he would keep Christ in Christmas, smiling while nodding his head.
For all your automotive needs, contact PDR Automotive at 367-9481. That's 217-367-9481. Or visit their website, pdrauto.com. That's pdrauto.com.
Winter. I don't like it. All the jeans and hoodies, they double my laundry size. They double my workload. I'm not having it.
You need a large capacity Electrolux front load washer from Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
I had a front loader before. Crying out loud, vibrated the whole house.
Electrolux is top rated for least vibration or your money back.
Don't I have to buy those super duper expensive pedestal bases?
Pedestals are buy one, get one free for a limited time.
That's a $320 value.
It's a crazy good deal. Pick your color, white or sparkling titanium. Electrolux accepts pods. Fast 15-minute wash cycle and a water heater that annihilates harmful bacteria. And our free 10-year protection plan.
Great! Will it fold my laundry?
It sure does not.
No problem. That's what my kits are for.
Wow!
When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Consider
giving yourself a gift of great health in 2021. Lose some of the extra pounds you've been putting on. I didn't think I could do it, but I stay motivated with the health coaches at Profile by Sanford. Call 403-9080 and name drop me, Diane Ducey, for that free consultation, or visit profileplan.com and use the promo code DD. Profile by Sanford, located on Meyer Drive over by AMC Theater in Champaign. Get off to a great start in 2021 and lose the weight. 403-98.
Old Man Winter will be here before you know it. Frozen and leaking pipes are two reasons to call ServPro. Immediate action is crucial with water damage, and the ServPro professionals respond quickly and utilize their advanced equipment and techniques. ServPro's action to your problem? Inspect water damage, extract water, dry and dehumidify, and clean and sanitize, restoring it like it never even happened. Call 217-355-0077. ServPro, the number one choice in the area for restoration problems. Franchise is independently owned and operated.
At Bonnie and Soul, you know that their experienced associates have been helping runners get the proper fit for over 41 years. And during this time, Bonnie and Soul Sports encourages you to go running or walking or anything to stay in shape to keep you fit both mentally and physically. And at Bonnie and Soul Sports, they offer free shipping on any purchase over $69. Bonnie and Soul Sports is also safe to visit with all COVID and CDC guidelines followed. Body and Soul Sports, simply the best of what they do, just off Neil near Curtis in Savoy. Visit them at bodyandsoulsports.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lon Tay. He is Derek Piper. To my left in the slot, Trevor Valise out to the right, way out there like he's got speed or something as a go-get a deep ball kind of guy. Are you that kind of a guy?
No.
Okay.
My body's slowly morphing into like large tight end.
You're my
block someone.
You and I are the guards on the team. We're the offensive, or you're the right guard, I'm the left guard, and Piper is the still the tight end. He's built like a tight end, so he'd still be my guy. All right, last night, Illinois gets it done, 92-65. I am going to confess something which will make a lot of Illini fans say, really, Lon? But last night, I was behind in the game because I had to run an errand before I could get home. Of course, the game started at 6. We didn't even get done till 6. So by the time I started the game, it was probably close to half. Now, I did not know the score. The only thing I had seen is a tweet from you saying, I told you we need to get Robbins 2 fouls in the first whatever. And you were dead on with that because that was the story of the game early on. So I started watching the game. And, of course, it was a struggle for a while, right? And I'm like, what are we doing messing around with Minnesota? But, of course, you end up winning the game so big. So by the end of the game, Andrew, and the game had probably been over for maybe a half hour or something. But there was like 4 minutes left, and I looked at Andrew. I'm like, do you even want to watch the end of this? I'm like, I was bored almost. And I'm like, what? Lon, do not take these for granted. That was a good win for Illinois. Minnesota was the team that couldn't shoot straight, Derek, but a lot of that is Illinois' defense, and Illinois came out and basically showed their will against a team that they're a lot better than.
Yeah, that's good to see. You think about last year and how many close games you played, even with some lesser opponents. Northwestern, that was like a 4-point game on your home floor last year. Even against Minnesota, I know that they don't have Daniel Oturu this season, but it was within 2 possessions in the final 2 minutes or whatever it may be. So
right.
After a slow start, and I thought that Illinois would be the aggressor similar to Duke and come out and punch a Minnesota team in the mouth that hadn't played anybody. And it's 18-10, and Illinois is missing free throws again. And it seems like Minnesota's the more energetic team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fouling Marcus Carr and putting him on the line. I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
But after that, Kofi really, really got going. As you mentioned, Liam Robbins had 2 fouls in about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And he was on the bench for most of the first half. And while he was in, Kofi was just going to work on him. I think that it was a great game plan by Brad to attack that right away. I thought Kofi not only was able to catch the ball and dunk when Curbelo dished it off to him, when Io set him up,
mm-hmm.
he made some moves in the post that we haven't seen him make all year long. He made
3 right hooks,
a nice drop step, and kind of like a 5-footer with good touch. He blocked some shots, rebound. And to your point about defense, Trent Frazier was all over Marcus Carr again.
Incredible.
Carr goes 3 for 13 after was held to 3 for 12 here last year. both Gotch is averaging 16 a game. He goes 0 for 9. So, yeah, that was...
He looked out of sorts.
He did. He forced some runners and a lot of ugly stuff. Minnesota's not good.
No.
They're not good, but that's what you're supposed to do to a team like that.
Carr's not going to want to keep playing Illinois. He does not shoot the ball well. He doesn't. I mean, I know the stats show 16 and... I mean, pretty good stat line, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, but he missed 10 shots. He got 9 of those from the free throw line. On the other side of that, you talk about offensive efficiency, and I know that's a stat that you guys look at quite a bit, and, of course, that's more of that sabermetric thing. I'm just a guy that watches the game and says, Kofi looked pretty good tonight.
But 92 points. Yeah, right. Good.
But when you talk about offensive efficiency, Derek, 33 points from Kofi in 25 minutes. That's pretty stinking efficient.
Extremely efficient. And he had 3 turnovers, but I didn't feel like he was really fumbling the ball around at all. I think he got called for maybe 1 or 2 offensive fouls, but he drew 9 fouls.
Yes.
It's good to see. He missed his first 4 free throws, but finished 9 for 15. But yeah, 12 for 15 from the field means he's finishing effectively around the rim and also, again, showing post moves and touch where he was 0 for 5 on hook shots going into that game.
Mm. So, and then hit back-to-back.
Yeah, hit back-to-back and then had the drop step. So complete performance, and really you look around this league and how many times does a newcomer, especially down low, come into the Big Ten and get that welcome to the Big Ten moment?
You Kofi said it yesterday.
Gave one to Robbins that he will never forget, and that two-hand slam on his head is it's probably one that's going to be in his nightmares.
Kofi, I know, was being pushed from Brad Underwood to play better. Is that right?
I mean, he emphasized it in practice for the past couple of days, just like me being active on the offensive glass, and it's me like not like giving up on a play. So like I said earlier in the interview, just making sure that I'm keeping posts, you know, working on the offensive glass, going up opposite and inside, and just keep the energy up.
That is Kofi, of course, saying that I know that they were working on passes. You and I talked all about it yesterday. What is a good game for Kofi when we're looking at this as a spoiled fan base, maybe, because he's getting double-doubles, and we're like, is he playing that well? Well, last night you saw a dominant, and I know somebody had texted yesterday on the College of Aces text line and said, I want to see a dominant Kofi, not just a good Kofi. And last night he was dominant.
That's really what he's capable of.
Yes.
So we kind of judging it on last year and the next step for him. So while you look at some box scores, and we mentioned the Missouri game, 19-6, like on paper, in a normal year for Illinois, when your center gives you 19-6, you're thrilled. You just know Kofi has another step, and there's just missed opportunities that he left out there in some of these other games that he didn't last night.
We're going to hear from Brad Underwood some of his opening remarks at the start of next hour and kind of get some ideas of what he had to say after that game. There were 3 things that I noticed, well, a lot more than 3 things, but 3 things that kind of stood out for me, and I want to know if you remember these. I know you'll definitely remember one of them, and that was a pass from Curbelo, but did you notice how Kofi got an and one and he made the layup? Did you see his excitement after that? I'm telling you, this is a guy I know as fans, and we talked all about this yesterday. We sit there and think, dude, you're 7 foot, and you are the strong. He is like, he looks like 3 guys from on each arm could just hang from his arm, and he could lift them. You know, I mean, he looks like a world's strongest man. And yet sometimes a little guard will touch him on an arm, and he'll miss that little bunny to get an and one. Last night, he made it, and he pumped his fist. I was happy for him because that has to be frustrating, Derek, for a big guy to always get just barely fouled. Now, I know sometimes he's getting hammered, but to sometimes get barely fouled and not be able to finish that, I know that's in his mind, right? And I'm sure that's something that Antigua and the staff have been hammering him about and saying, Kofi, you're not the best free throw. Yeah, you're not bad at the free throw line, but you're not the best. You've got to convert those and ones.
Yeah, especially when you're not there aren't a lot of guys out there. Garza would be one of them that can really affect him with contact.
Good call.
And they can foul you, but he's still able to. And if you're holding down an arm or whatever it may be,
yeah,
but a slap on the arm as he's going up should not prevent him from putting the ball in the basket. And there's times, look, where I can only imagine being that strong,
right,
where it's hard to get that right finesse and put it with
that's
touch
a great point.
And not just clang it off the backboard or leave it short as he has had a number of times. But, yeah, it was good for him to be able to convert those because those are opportunities that are points left out there if you don't make them.
Another thing you and I talked about yesterday, and then I'll get to my other 2 points. The other thing we talked about yesterday, or one of the things we talked about, is how Liam Robbins is a 7-footer. And I had mentioned the fact that I've always heard this, that sometimes a big guy likes to face another guy like that. They like to be able to have the contact and be able to get away with a little bit. And certainly Kofi did that last night, and he spoke about it after the game.
I'm playing against somebody my size. It gives me the opportunity to use what I have, you know. Undersized players, you know, you take advantage of undersized players and you just go, you try to use your power, you try to finish over them. Bigger opponents give you the opportunity to use a skill. And, you know, you're able to take your time, basically. Like today, I just focused on getting to my spot. And, you know, those are the shots that I practice every day. So I get up a lot of reps up with those shots, and that's why I'm capable of making them right now. So I guess the bigger opponents, it's not easier, but they give me opportunity to use my skill and be slower and be more thorough with my moves.
There you go. And Kofi showed that last night with 33, of course, and also 13 rebounds. All right, two other things that I noticed last night. They were both from Andre Curbelo. Did you see when Trevor, did you see this? The block charge calls in today's basketball. And I know Jay Billis was getting on this in that Duke game. Sometimes you just basically have to have one finger still. The rest of your body can be moving, and then it'll be a charge. Last night, Andre Curbelo was standing for like 10 minutes underneath the bucket, and there's a block call. This had nothing to do with the game. Literally, I just started laughing watching this in Philo. And I'm like, dude, and I went back and watched it like 4 times. He was standing there for like 3 seconds. Brad Underwood didn't complain. Nobody said a word. The announcers didn't say a word. And Andre Curbelo was sitting at the free throw line looking at the official going, did anybody else see that? Did you notice that?
I did, yeah. He was camped right outside of the paint for what seemed like 10 minutes.
Yes!
In perfect position. Now, Brad didn't. I end up hearing him tell Bo Borowski, you can't get better position than that.
Oh, okay. So he did say something.
I think Bo must have not liked the fact that Curbelo kind of yelled out. Maybe sold it a little bit, but his body, take that away from him. And I told you, I wrote about it. I told you guys at the very end of the radio hit yesterday, it was kind of ironic that Brad complains about the officiating against Kofi, and he gets blessed with the presence of Bo Borowski in a game, and you get those kind of calls that he brings.
By the way, bringing it, Trevor, you can attest to this. Derek Piper brought it yesterday on that hit. Trevor, you know, he was the guy going, Lon, why, you know, the ambiance? I know you want the... I'm like, Derek Piper, man, he just brought it yesterday. And then to finish it with the Bo Borowski was just perfect.
I was just trying to make you look good.
Oh.
You come in the production meeting saying, we should do this. And Trevor's like, I don't know that it's really worth it.
And you hammered it.
Show some value
for you. You nailed it. The other thing of the three things that I really noticed, the pass from Andre Curbelo.
Which one?
Well, correct. The one that impressed me the most, and I know he had so many that were electrifying in every game. I mean, we're going to get to the point where it's like we're not even going to talk about Andre Curbelo's passing skills anymore because we have talked ourselves to the point of exhaustion because he's so good at it. The one that he threw over the defender when he was out by the three-point line, he made a little bit of a shimmy move to kind of step back, he being Curbelo, and then he lofted this just beautiful, soft touch pass to Kofi. You do not see that very often. That is skill. And, of course, Kofi caught it, dunked. I think he dunked or at least scored. I thought that pass, among others, that one really stood out to me on Andre Curbelo.
It's great touch. It's like throwing the fade pass in the back of the end zone.
Right, good call.
And I love that Kofi was getting fronted by the defender, and Andre didn't then automatically just assume, okay, he's in front of Kofi. There's no passing lane.
Good call.
So the ability to feed the big guy in a variety of ways, and look, there is no angle that Curbelo has not thought of or window that he doesn't see as an opportunity. Now, that bounce pass opportunity or attempt at Georgie.
Yes.
In transition was...
got kicked about 500. I said we might see Piper here. Remember, because you said if I catch a ball, well, I said we might get to see Piper. Yeah, that was amazing. Andre Curbelo, by the way, 9 assists last night. I wonder if is it Bruce Douglas that has the most assists in the history of Illinois? I think it may be Bruce.
Yeah, you're right.
So I wonder if he's sitting there going, that record could be in jeopardy because of Andre Curbelo from his freshman year, especially if he plays here 4 years. But you guys asked Kofi after the game about catching passes from Mr. Curbelo.
It's incredible, man. Like I said the other day, incredible IQ, really gifted passer. It's just about expecting it, you know, always being ready with my hands and just knowing that, yo, trust him. He's going to make the right play. He's going to pass that at the right moment. So it's just about being ready, like I said earlier, and just having a good mindset of like, yeah, he's going to throw it, even if you don't.
It is amazing, too, because 9 out of 10 times Curbelo's going to throw it. And he's going to somehow, 8 out of those 9, it's going to reach your hands. So you, then, it's up to you to be the guy that's going to be able to catch it and convert. Because that kid, he's got some special skills, Derek. It is so fun to watch.
It's incredible. The drive down the lane, the spin move, and just the leave. And that's really what he's able to do is beat his man.
Yep.
And then the big guy has to come and help. And somehow he's either going to wrap it around Robin's back, setting up Robin's to get dunked on. There's just those tight windows where he just is able, even not even looking, just to dump it off to Kofi. Kofi was a lot more ready for those passes last night. And, yeah, it's just some of the stuff he does is pretty, like, magical. And it just wows you.
And, by the way, Andre Curbelo has played 7 college basketball games. I mean, I've said it more than once watching games this year saying, that's not going to work in college, Andre. That pass not going to work in college. And he's slowly figuring out what is going to work. And now 80% of the time it works. And he's 7 games into a college career that could be a 4-year career here at Illinois. Oh, my.
He's going to lead the Big Ten in assists. One day,
yes,
probably for multiple years.
Yep.
If you just look at conference play, where he starts, you're only judging conference play.
He's averaging 9 points.
He has 9 right now, so he could make a run this year. I think Brad is continuing to show that he wants to play Curbelo with Io more, yes. And I think he's going to get those opportunities. But it just comes so natural and effortless to him, like the behind the back to Hamlin.
Yes,
it's just easy.
It's pretty. It is pretty to watch. Quick break, come back, wrap up hour one. Again, we're going to hear from Brad Underwood, his thoughts on this game to start second hour. John Holasek, former Illini linebacker, going to join us at 5:30 next hour to talk about the Illinois football vacancy and recruiting the state of Illinois. We're going to talk to John about that. It is the draft.
The holiday shopping season is winding down. Don't get stuck
waiting on a package that doesn't arrive in time.
Shop local at Game Day Spirit and find everything you need today for the Illini fan on your shopping list. Holiday doorbusters are now available. Illini crewnecks, $14.99. Polos, $17.99. Hoodies, just $19.99. Gift cards redeemable in-store or online are also available. Game Day Spirit's open daily at 6th and Green in Campus Town. Neil and Kirby and Champagne, where Illini fans shop.
If you're looking for rapid COVID-19 testing, it's now available at Campus Town Urgent Care at Green and Wright in Champaign. That's 631 East Green Street. Get a test and know within 15 minutes or less whether you have coronavirus. Dr. Tom Plura at Campus Town Urgent Care personally calls all positive patients within 30 minutes to inform them and to answer questions. During the emergency pandemic, patient insurance covers the cost of testing with no co-pays or deductibles. Medicare and Medicaid covers the test fully. Appointments are necessary, but quick and easy. Never leave your car and results in 15 minutes or less. Go to covedtest.center to book your time. Stop missing work or waiting around for days to find out results. Go to covedtest.center to book your time for rapid COVID testing from Campus Town Urgent Care. That's covedtest.center.
Listening to this Allstate commercial about savings might be the hardest thing about getting those savings. Save for simply becoming an Allstate customer. Save more for adding DriveWise. And save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent for a quote today. Allstate. Minimum effort, maximum reward.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. DriveWise is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey kids, want to hear a scary story? It was a dark and stormy night, and suddenly, from out of nowhere, a noise. It was a company's hard drive failing after being struck by an IT disaster.
Kids?
Where'd you go?
It might not sound scary, but over 90% of small businesses fail within 2 years after being struck by an IT disaster. Let Area-Wide Technologies in Champaign design a recovery plan for you. Give them a call at 359-8041.
It's Officer James Hobson, Champaign Police Department, our Law Enforcement Official of the Month.
Tell us about yourself, where you're from, and all of that.
Well, I've been a police officer for 5 years now here in Champaign. I got hired in the second half of 2015. I was living in Decatur at the time. I went to high school over there, Mount Zion.
Mount Zion's a good high school. So why, though? Why police? I mean, you know the stuff that's going on. With 5 years ago, it wasn't so good either. People are ridiculing Ferguson, Missouri, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you want to get into the business of policing.
Well, I felt like I could make a difference. That's really what it comes down to. I'm just one person, but, you know, I thought that it was something that I could do well in, and I wanted to give back.
Know that there are people out here that truly appreciate what the police do every day to protect and serve, which is what you do. But thanks for coming in, and great to meet you.
Thank you very much.
All right, Derek, the drive with Tay and Piper. You know how you have spell check on your laptop and your phone? Our listeners are my fact checkers. And I always appreciate that. And it's not an easy job for these. I need to pay them, probably, because every day they have to fact check me. The 508 area code said Makovic, John Makovic, was AD in Illinois, not Texas. That is my fault. And I'm going to say this wholeheartedly. I've always thought, it's something I've thought, and I guess I must have just read it wrong, that John McAfee, I knew he was the AD here as well, but I thought he left to become the AD at Texas and football coach, but he was only the football coach at Texas. So thank you to the 508 for correcting me on that. And that has been a lifelong staff that I've thrown out there. So I apologize to everybody out there that that I've said that wrong to. Hopefully they weren't even listening to me. That's probably the case, to be honest with you.
I doubt that, but I appreciate the history lesson. I need it as well.
It is interesting to go back and look. I Wikipedia'd some of the... I just Wikipedia'd University of Illinois football, and I went through all the coaches dating back to the very first coach and when we were beating Chicago YMCA back in the day. But it is interesting to go back and read about, you know, Zupke and... of course, some of the guys that that led this program through the years. It's a pretty interesting read, so maybe sometime take the time and get that done. All right, next hour, we're going to be joined by John Holosek, former Illini linebacker, Loyola Academy head coach. We'll visit with him about this vacancy for the head football coach at Illinois and also about Josh Kreutz, who signed today with Illinois. So we'll ask John about him, what to expect out of Josh, and also what's it take to recruit the state of Illinois. So we'll talk to him about that as well. We'll also hear from Brad Underwood on what he had to say following last night's victory. The Illini 1-0 in the Big Ten, 5-2 overall. 1-0 in the Big Ten. That's the key there. 92-65 over Minnesota. So we'll more recap of that when we return. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampaign.com for a free estimate.
Also by Molitor Financial Group, located at the Village at the Crossing in Champaign.